Glad that you're here today, and as we continue our series called 5 Minutes with Jesus, and if you brought your Bibles this morning, I'm going to actually ask you to turn to Acts chapter 9. You can also put your finger there and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll get there in a little while. And for those of you who have been a regular here at New Heart, you know we've been going through the book of Ephesians over the last many weeks, and this morning we're kind of changing things up. Starting last week, I really felt prompted of the Lord that we change direction, because I believe God has a word he wants to share with us about the importance of spending just a moment with Jesus as we get into a brand new year and a brand new season for us as a church family and for us as individuals. I believe God has a word he wants to share with us. So we're talking about 5 minutes with Jesus. And the big idea is this: some moments in life are bigger than others. You guys know what I'm talking about? There's some moments in life, one of my favorite ways to think about this. How many of you have ever seen The Pursuit of Happiness, the movie? You know, it's like, I love that movie because each time he says, I call this part of my life, and then he says what defines that part of his life. I call this part of my life running. I call this part of my life this. And defining moments have a way of doing just that, of defining seasons or chapters of our lives by what just took place. And these big moments change things. There are change points where we exit one season or one chapter of our lives and enter into another. Could be from going one level of our relationship to a deeper level. Could be from exiting one career path to entering into another one. It could be from leaving the season of being single to entering into being married, or going from being just an individual to having a child. That changes things. And those are the kind of moments that I want to talk about, because Jesus, when he walked on the earth during his first earthly ministry, had a way of transforming people's lives in a moment. These defining moments were marked as Jesus interacted with men and women, young and old, for all children and old folks, people everywhere in between. These moments changed things, and they changed people's lives. And these are the kind of moments that many of us would mark down in our calendars. Some of you have a Bible like mine where you've got these large moments that we want to remember, a date of a marriage or a date of a birth. Or sometimes, sadly, we even want to remember the day that our loved one went home to be with God. These are moments that change things in our lives. And Jesus had a way of doing that. He had a way of transforming lives. People who had been sick, people who were stuck, people who were broken, had a way of finding a transformation. See, Jesus did all sorts of miraculous things as he walked the earth during his earthly ministry. He healed the sick, people who were broken and hurting, who had been gone to physicians and they couldn't get healed. Jesus was able to heal in a moment what couldn't be cured otherwise in a lifetime. Jesus was able to give sight to the blind, both physically and spiritually blind. He was able to even raise the dead. And in our lives, he's able to raise to life those things that have died in us as well. He's able to give us new life. The Bible declares that Jesus is able to help us be born again in a spiritual sense. See, there are countless thousands of individuals whose lives were changed with a moment with Jesus. And today I want us to look at a story of two men, one story and two men whose lives were changed with a brief encounter with Jesus Christ. We're gonna look at two men in one story, Acts chapter 9, and we're gonna look at a man named Saul. Many of you have heard that name. Saul would later go on to be named Paul. God would give him a new name as a result of the transformation we're gonna read about today. And this man was, for all intents and purposes, he was a religious extremist, right? We might even call him, in today's age, we might even call him a religious terrorist. He went about persecuting God's church, causing violence to them. He stood by while a member of God's church was stoned to death and approved of it. This was not a good man, but he was a man that God had a purpose for. And he was a man that much of our Bible, our New Testament, was written through his hand by the power of the Spirit. See, God had a different plan for Saul. He didn't want his life to end the way that it was going at this moment. And so Jesus met with him. Jesus talked with him. And in a moment with Jesus, everything changed. And some of us would look at a man like Saul and say, could God even use a guy like that? Could God use someone that was that jacked up and that messed up and that going in the wrong direction that far? Could God use that? The other man we're going to look at is a man named Ananias. And Ananias was a follower of Jesus Christ. And he trusted Jesus for his salvation, but there was areas of doubt in his own heart. He trusted Jesus for the big things, but when it came to the practical, he wasn't so sure. In fact, Ananias was a guy who liked safety. How many of you guys like safety? Some of us like safety. We live in a suburb. We live in Simi Valley because it's a safe place. And Ananias, I would imagine, if he were to drive a car, he would probably have a Prius. And if he had a Prius, he wouldn't just wear a seatbelt. He might even wear a helmet. This was a guy who liked to be safe, who liked to make sure that everything was protected around him. He was a belt and suspenders kind of guy. You guys know like people like that? Maybe you're like that. See, he liked safe things. But both of these men were maybe a little unsure about the plan and the grace that Jesus had for this guy named Saul. Both of them, when God spoke to them, when Jesus met them, they said, are you sure? Are you sure you picked the right guy? But God was about to do a work of transformation in their lives. He was about to use them. And maybe you're here today and you can use a transformation. Maybe you're not like Saul. Maybe you're more like Ananias. Maybe you're somewhere in between. But maybe there's some area in your life that you need a transformation. You need a touch from God. Maybe it's an addiction or something that you've tried to kick and been unable to do so. Maybe you need a breakthrough in a relationship or some other area, a financial breakthrough or a health breakthrough. Maybe you just need a spiritual breakthrough. You feel dry. You feel in need of hope, and you need a touch from God. The same Jesus Christ, we have it proudly declared behind my head. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we come to our story today, we're reminded that the same Jesus that touched these two men is available to touch us today, to bring healing and wholeness to us. And some say that opportunity knocks, right? And as the adage goes, when opportunity knocks, open the door. Well, I would submit to you that we modify that. Today, I would submit to you that Jesus is calling. If you're taking notes, you can fill it out. Jesus is calling, and when he does, answer the call. Jesus is calling, and when he does, answer the call. See, when we answer Jesus' call, he can do supernatural things beyond our wildest expectations. The Bible declares that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or even think. That's the sort of God that we have. And Jesus can change your life. So today, let's pick up our story in Acts chapter 9. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Some of it will be on the screen today, but I really hope you have a Bible with you. If not, you can pull out your app. You can use a YouVersion app. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1, says this. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he was not a good guy. He was breathing threats and murder against Christians. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that they found any belonging to the way, any Christian believers, both men or women, that he might bring them bound in chains to Jerusalem. He wanted to go lock up Christians. And now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus and suddenly, say suddenly, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Now the men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but seeing no one. So Saul rose from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. Friends, there's times in our lives where our eyes can be open, and yet we will not see, but by the grace of God. And though his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days, he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now, I don't know about you, but that story's pretty amazing. Jesus met him as he was going to persecute Jesus' followers. And here's the truth, friend. Jesus doesn't always meet us the way he met Saul. But Jesus calls to every single one of us. He calls to us. And Jesus doesn't call us because we're great. He doesn't say, wow, look at that one. They're so fantastic, I think I'll call them. That's not what God was thinking when he called Saul. He wasn't saying, he's doing such a bang-up job down there, I'm going to talk to him. No. He calls us because he's great. And he calls us because he loves us. Sometimes we sing that song, how he loves us. He loves us. See, here's the truth, friend. Jesus does not call perfect people. Jesus calls available people. I'll say it again. Jesus does not call perfect people. He calls available people. And sometimes we have this misguided idea that God is only interested in people who've got it all together. Oh, we got a ways, Kate. Sorry. We've got a ways. Sorry, everybody. We've got a longer. She's available. Kate, thank you for being available. And sometimes we have those ideas that God will only accept us if we put a smile on our face and act like we've got it all together. See, God's looking for your availability. He's not looking for your desirability. He's not looking for your features and your benefits. See, the truth is that your actions don't make God love you more, and your actions don't make God love you less. He loves you, period. And God chose to use Saul. God was about to transform Saul's life. Such a large transformation that God gave him a new name. His name would be Paul. And he would be one of the greatest apostles, the greatest followers of Jesus the world had ever seen. But up until this point, he was not much to look at. See, God chose to use him, and he would change him in such a way that people would look at Saul and say, could this even be the same guy? We've heard about him, but he looks totally different. And I believe that God transforms Saul in a moment. God wants to change and transform some of us. For some, Jesus is calling you for the first time to trust him, just as he did to Saul on the road to Damascus. He's saying, would you put your trust in what I've done for you? Would you open yourself up to trusting me with your future, that I might give you a new future and a new hope? For others of you, God, just like the man we're about to read about, Ananias, is calling you to step out of your comfort zone, to trust him, to stretch you in a way that you didn't feel like you were able to be stretched, to leave safe behind and to trust God in those things. But here's the truth. Jesus is calling, but often we ignore the phone call. Have you ever looked down at your phone and it's ringing and you look at it and you're like, I don't recognize that number. Ignore. Right? Or worse yet, this is the one I hate. Blocked. If your number's blocked, I'm not answering your phone call, right? Maybe that's just me. I'm like, we're so used to caller ID. And so very often, we don't recognize when Jesus calls to us for one reason or another. But as he calls to us, we send him to voicemail, so to speak. And sometimes we don't recognize him. Maybe it's because we've never heard from him before. Maybe like Saul, we've never heard from Jesus before. Could be that maybe we don't want to hear from God anymore because we don't want to hear what he has to say. Or could be because we've said, hey, when that guy calls, just send him straight to voicemail. See, instead of answering the call of Jesus, some of us will send him instead to voicemail. And the question is this, when Jesus calls, will you answer or will you send him to voicemail? What will you do when he calls? Hey, is it Jesus? See, some of us, when Jesus calls, say, nope, too busy, Jesus, I'll call you back, right? We say, God, I don't have a moment for you right now. So when Jesus calls, will you answer? Will you send him to voicemail? Here's a few things we learn about Jesus' call to transform us from this story today. The first is this. Jesus calls us right where we are. He calls us right where we are. Verse 3. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Saul was going on his way. He was going about his day in an ordinary way, doing what he thought was right in his own eyes. And Jesus met him on that road, on the road to sin, so to speak. Jesus met him right there. And the truth is that we don't have to change first for God to love us. See, God loves us not because we change, but he changes us because he loves us. See, that's one of the great lies that religion tells us. Religion says, God will love you if you first change. But the good news of the gospel is that God will change you because he loves you. And that's a completely different story. See, Jesus meets us where we are. Some of us find ourselves at times and places on our own road to Damascus, going off to do whatever it is we felt was the right thing to do. But God wants to intervene. And the question is, will we respond to his call or will we ignore him? The second thing we hear is that Jesus calls people that we often least expect. We're going to pick up our story in verse 10. If you have a Bible, you can read there. It's not going to be on the screen, but Jesus calls people we least expect. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, he said, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and in the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he's seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so he might regain his sight. But Ananias was having none of it. He said in verse 13, Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many people about this man. He is not a good man. I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. See, the truth is that Jesus calls people sometimes that we least expect. What I love about this story, about Ananias' conversation with Jesus, is just like our story last week, Ananias had some doubts about what God was up to. Don't you know it's okay to have doubts? It's okay to bring our doubts to God, to say, God, I'm not so sure about this, but if this is what you're saying, I'll go. I love that about this story. See, the truth is that Jesus doesn't see people the way that we often see people. We see things on the outside, right? We see what they look like. We see people as they are. Oftentimes, we see people and look at them through the lens of their past, where they've been. We see people through the lens of their present, what they're struggling with, what they're going through. But when Jesus sees people, he sees, yes, their past. He sees, yes, their present. But he also sees their future. He knows the purpose and the future that he has for them. See, Jesus has a completely different perspective. And very often, Jesus calls people that we don't expect. He doesn't call the perfect ones. Jesus, when you look at his disciples, he didn't call the pretty ones. He didn't call the popular ones. He didn't call the people that sometimes we look at and say, that's a person that God would call. But so very often, we are blown away by the people that God chooses. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. I had you turn there to chapter 1 in verse 26. This was written later by Paul after his transformation. He says this, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. See, God calls us not because of how great we are, but because of the great purpose that he has placed within each one of us. And God meets us on our own Damascus road. And God doesn't meet us on those roads because of how great we are, but because of the great purpose that he's put inside of us, because of the future he knows about our days ahead. See, God doesn't call us because of our past. He doesn't even call us because of our present and say, man, that guy's doing such a great job. That Kate is so great where she's at. No, he says, I see the future that I have prepared for them, for my son, for my daughter, and I want to do something great. See, some of us think that God cannot possibly use us because of our past, and we're mistaken. Some of us think that God can't possibly use us because of what we've done, or maybe even what's been done to us, ways that we've been hurt or abused or damaged by others. And the truth of the matter is that God will take our past and use it for our good and the benefit of others. And Jesus calls us sometimes in spite of our past because he wants to transform us from the inside out. He wants to do just as he did to Saul and just as he did to Ananias, as Ananias trusted him. He wants to use our lives for something bigger than ourselves. See, Saul was a man that was engaged in hate, but God did not meet him with hate. Jesus met him with love and with grace. So very often we think we've got to engage hatred with hatred, but that's not how Jesus met Saul. Saul was speaking murder and violence against God's people, and Jesus met him with grace and love and mercy. And Jesus calls people that we sometimes don't expect. And it's so easy for us to look at people and say, just like Ananias did, and say, God, are you sure? Are you sure about that one? That wouldn't be my first round draft pick, God, to use the football theme, Joe. I wouldn't pick that guy for my team. But you seem to be calling him, so maybe he's got a skill that I don't know about. Maybe you've got some gift you've birthed in him that I can't see yet. And sometimes, like Ananias, we have to be willing to say, God, if there's a Saul in my neighborhood, if there's a Saul in my household, if there's a Saul in my church, help me to be Ananias. Use me to go and bring vision to the blindness. Help me to go and lead someone else to you, Jesus, just as someone once upon a time led me to Jesus. See, here's the truth, friend. I believe that Jesus wants to write a new chapter in your story. He wants to write a new chapter in your story. Here's what he said to Ananias. Ananias, in verse 17, Acts 9, 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. He doesn't say, you jerk, Saul. He doesn't say, Saul, you whatever. Fill in the blank that I won't fill in. He says, Brother Saul. He greets him with affection. That's a huge thing right there. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, say immediately. Immediately. Come on, say it again with some power. Immediately. Immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. And then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. See, a few days go by with the disciples, and in verse 20 says, immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. See, Jesus Christ met Saul of Damascus on this Damascus road and changed him. This man that was persecuting God's church, just a moment with Jesus changed him. And a few days later, he was proclaiming Jesus as Lord. That's the kind of thing that Jesus wants to do in our lives. I'm reminded of a great friend and mentor that's actually gone home to be with Jesus. His name was Mike Schaefer, and he was a man that I hold dear to my heart. Mike was a guy who grew up in a tough neighborhood in the Bay Area in Oakland and didn't have a dad in his life. His dad was gone. I don't know what happened to his dad. I never really talked with him about it, but his dad was absent in his life. And so growing up in a tough neighborhood, he looked for the approval of these men that were around him and found his way in a life of crime. Now, Mike was FBI. That doesn't mean he was Federal Bureau of Investigation. Mike would say FBI means I'm full-blooded Italian. He said, I'm FBI. And so he got involved with these other Italian crime individuals, and he was involved in the mafia, believe it or not, and got involved doing things at a very early age that no young person should be involved in, and in theft of semi-trucks and all sorts of other violence. And one day, he had his own Damascus Road experience. And as he was driving down the road, he felt like he heard the audible voice of Jesus, just as Saul did in our story today, saying, I want you to go to that place. And he was driving by this church that he'd driven by a million times before, and he said, church. But he went, because he felt like God was speaking to him in a profound way. And he didn't know what to expect, never been in a church before, and so he went and did what most of us do, and he sit in the back row. And he sat there in the back row, and next to him, sorry, Joe, sorry, George, he looked next to him and he saw a guy that obviously looked like a cop. And as a guy who was involved in crime, he's like, he could tell it was a cop. Maybe he smelled the donuts like you smelled on me earlier. I don't know. Joe said that to me this morning. He said, you smell like donuts. And he was right. I had a donut. There's donuts after church for anyone who wants one. But he sat down next to this cop and he was a little uneasy. As a guy who had devoted his life to crime, he is not so sure about this. And worship is happening, and he felt like, oh, God, I don't know what this is all about. And finally, just as we did after worship, they said, let's stand and greet one another. In fact, why don't you turn and give someone a hug? And so there he is standing, kind of like this, and this big burly cop is standing next to him, like this. And so there he is, forced with this reality that there's a cop that wants to give him a hug. And the cop gave him a big hug, and God began a life transformation in him when he received that hug. And it was just a simple thing of a cop giving him a hug, but it changed his life. Mike went on to change his life. God transformed him from the inside out. He would later start a ministry that reached out to those boys and girls in those same neighborhoods he grew up in, to give them good examples of what a good man and a good woman are to look like, to give them examples. See, God changed Mike's life. Just as he did to Saul, he transformed his life. And what if Jesus was calling you today because he wanted to write a new chapter in your story, because he wanted to do something different in the days ahead than what has happened before? What if God wanted to have a defining moment in your life? Would you believe him? Would you trust him? Would you take his call? Because I believe that Jesus is calling to some of us. He wants today to be a defining moment in some of our lives. And the question is, will we take his call? I want you to see this brief video about defining moments. Take a look.
Either the world and its pleasures, or it's Christ.
lives are shaped by defining moments, by moments of time where God is able to do something that changes things in our lives. I believe that God wants to speak life. He wants to change our lives as he did to Saul and Ananias in a moment of time. And I believe that for many of us, God wants today to be a moment, a defining moment, a moment where he's calling us to something more, where he's calling us to something deeper. And the question is, how will we respond to Jesus when he calls to us? I believe that the God of the universe wants to do just as he did to Saul in some of our lives. He wants to open our eyes to a new truth, a new spiritual reality, a new level of knowledge of him. And he wants to change us in a moment, in a way that we could never change ourselves. And I believe that God wants to call others of us just as he did to Ananias and say, I want to take you beyond the limits of your comfort zone. I want you to experience what I have designed you for. See, I believe that there are Sauls in our midst and there are Ananiases in our midst. And it's our job to say, Jesus Christ, when you call, I'll answer the call. Because when we do, when we take his call, he's able to change things. And I believe that God wants to do those things. And the question is, when Jesus calls, will you answer or will you send him to voicemail? See, because he is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for available people. Will you make yourself available to Jesus Christ today? Will you make yourself available to receiving of his call? Or will you ignore it? Would you bow with me as we close our time in prayer?